7 o'clock and call the meeting to order. City of University Heights, Iowa City Council meeting. Today is April 9th, 2024. And we have all five council present tonight. And first order of business is approval of minutes for March 12th and April 2nd. Are there any additions or corrections? Mike sent them around. Any for either or both of the minutes? Okay, hearing none, the minutes will be approved by unanimous consent, both of them. Thank you. So comments from the public, and Pat Yeagy is on the Zoom, and she had told me she has no comments tonight. So we'll go on, and tonight I have Josh Schomburger here from Think Iowa City and the Iowa City Coralville Convention Visitors Bureau, along with Kelly Murphy. I always want to call you Tracy. Kelly Murphy. Thank you. So go ahead, Josh.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I was in public
comment. Oh, yeah, you have a...
I do have a slide deck.
We're getting there. We're getting there quick.
So I'll just do some introductions while Mike's pulling that up. My name is Josh Schomburger, as Mayor said. I've been the director of the Iowa City Coralville Area Convention and Visitors Bureau since 2001. So quite a long time now. The Iowa City Coralville Area CDB is also known as Think Iowa City. So I'll explain that in a couple slides here as to that we are truly one and the same. But we are the official destination marketing organization for this community. And Mike, if you want to go to that first slide. So a little bit of history about us. So our mission is quite simply to advance economic vitality and quality of life for residents and visitors as Iowa's premier destination. We're a nonprofit 501c6 organization. We were originally incubated in 1979 by the Iowa City Area Chamber of Commerce. And at that time, that for most CVBs, Convention Visiting Bureaus like ours, was created all over this country. They were born out of chambers of commerce when we were basically an economic development arm of the chambers, focused on tourism, visitor expenditures, things like that, hotels in particular. Shortly after that, in about 1983, hotel motel tax referendum was passed in Iowa City and Coralville. It actually originally failed in Coralville, passed in Iowa City, and then 6 months later, it passed in both communities. And that's what created the Convention Visitors Bureau. Hotel motel tax is well known across the state of Iowa. There's about 36 organizations like ours in Iowa, and they're almost all created and funded by hotel motel tax collections. So when I give presentations in the community, I like to remind folks that we're quite different than property taxes in that we're a non-guaranteed revenue stream, and we're paid for by actually visitors that are passed through to the local jurisdictions. So about state law is a little loose and gray, but it's 50% of the hotel motel taxes that are collected need to be spent on tourism, visitor expenditures, parks and rec quality life initiatives, things like that. And the other 50% can go to general fund or whatever the local collecting jurisdiction has. And that is varied across this entire county here. Coralville is different than Iowa City, different than North Liberty. In North Liberty, just like University Heights, they had their first hotel in FY10, and they decided to pass a hotel motel tax referendum, as University Heights did a couple of years before the hotel was built. And North Liberty officially joined our organization with 25% of their hotel motel taxes passed through to our organization, which is what mirrors Iowa City, Coralville, North Liberty, and University Heights. The Iowa City Area Sports Commission is another organization that we represent and manage, and that is a nonprofit 501c3 organization that was developed in 2016 and formalized in 18, and they're responsible for all of the local sporting events that you hear about. They go after and bid and pay for boys state baseball, girls state tennis, girls state volleyball, girls state wrestling, all of those activities, in addition to everything you hear about at the Wellness Center, most recently a Speedo sectional event. All of those events bring thousands of room nights here each year. The Convention and Visitors Bureau is also known as what's called a DMO, and that's basically an industry term that our organizations across the country switch to probably about 10 years ago, and it stands for Destination Marketing Organization, which is a little bit more defined as to what we do versus the Convention and Visitors Bureau, which a lot of people confuse with government. We are a nonprofit, non-government agencies. And around that same time, we went through quite an extensive 18-month rebranding process where we changed our name from the Iowa City Coralville CVB to the Iowa City Coralville Area CVB to Think Iowa City. And that's the primary brand that we use outside of Johnson County. So one of our salespeople is currently in Dallas at a big trade show for certain meetings and markets, and they represent us as Think Iowa City. And that was through quite a bit of research. The easiest way I describe it is if you go right downtown to Chicago right now, there's probably seven or eight people that might have heard of Iowa City, and there's probably less than one that have heard of Corville. So it just is what it is, and we lead with our hook, and a lot of cities do that across the country with organizations like ours. So our funding this fiscal year, our total organizational budget is about $2.3 million, of which 46% is arrives from hotel motel tax from all of the collecting jurisdictions. 19% is partnership. These are relationships we have with local private sector entities, corporations. And then we generate about 35% of our own program revenue through events that we do. Mike, if you want to advance. Yep. So we're governed by a board of directors, obviously a 501c6. Tim is the representative on the board from University Heights. And for prior to Tim, it was Bobby. Our current chair is actually Kelly, who is through our chair through June. And then Mitch Gross, who's the principal of West High and Iowa City Community School District liaison, will be the next chair. And it rotates up from there, as you see on the left are our board officers. And then the right is everybody else that's on the board from all the different jurisdictions, public, private, and community. The last two are myself and Roy Sam Porter from the county. She's on the board. We have to do a lot with the county from time to time, our different events, but they don't have a hotel, so they're ex officio non-voting. Go ahead, Mike. This is our staff. We'll skip through these. I promised Tim and Mayor I'd try to do as best as this. Go ahead, please. So our visitor impact is substantial. Last year, visitors to Johnson County alone spent $560 million on goods and services, $60 million in local and state taxes. And for the first time ever, local hotel motel tax collections surpassed $6 million in just our collecting our area. For every $1 hotel motel tax that was passed through to our organization, our staff efforts brought a return of $29.82 to the community. That's just from our conference and sales efforts. And you, for the question, you said, how do you actually know that? And if you go to the next slide, I'll show you how we know that. We actually, through conferences and meetings and sales, every single one of these, which is a very small print, you can keep it, it's saved in your file, I can get you to print out if you want. But just in our sports commission and our Think Iowa City with conferences and meetings, every one of these associations we're responsible for bringing here. All of the funds, particularly in University Heights and North Liberty, that are going through those two hotels, we're generating from business that are coming into those hotels that's generating that hotel motel tax. And Kelly can speak to that at length with all of these associations that are touching her. If you go one more slide, the other way we kind of track that, and this slide isn't formatted right, I think the screen is just off a little bit, but the other way we kind of track that is through some pretty interesting technology we have called Placer, which again, this is a small slide here, but the left one represents a heat map for like one piece of business that was actually Speedo Sectionals that was recently here at the Wellness Center. The right map, the right two that you can't see, again, we'll get you printouts, but we actually can track through this technology Placer. We geofence the actual events and the time that the events are happening. And as long as you don't have tracking mechanisms set up, turned off on every single app on your phone, we're able to capture the visitors that come in from outside of Johnson County, go to Speedo Sectionals, and then we know where they're going after the event. Mm-hmm. And so all of these events, whether it's the Extreme Arena events with Girls State Volleyball, and it's because Kelly obviously is a strong DOS in the market and been here a long time. We know exactly that they're going and they're coming to the courtyard by Marriott for a lot of these particular pieces of business. So we know that also because Kelly has the contracts and we help her book the contracts. And so we know the room counts. But Boys State Baseball is obviously an easy one. We use hotel motel tax to pay for that event. We give them a bid fee, I believe about $15,000. to secure that and book that. And then that they book all their rooms actually with Kelly for that particular event. But same thing with all of these activities. Go to the next slide, Mike. So market segmentation, I'm going to slide through these pretty quickly because I want to, I could spend an hour going through our organization. I'm happy to meet with you at any time and do that. But we basically primarily focus our efforts on these five areas up on the left. Individual and group leisure, which is leisure tourism. We spend a lot of time advertising in key markets, drive-to markets, Madison, Peoria, Chicago, that have visitors that come here for weekend activities. If you hear, we just had Mission Creek. We spend time advertising those markets, the Mission Creek Festival, in order to get them here to bring awareness to it. Same thing with film scene, of all the activities that happen through the event, Summer of the Arts, UNESCO One Book, Two Book, all of these activities. Conferences and meetings are the easiest to understand what we do. When you go to either Courtyard or you go to Hyatt or you go to Graduate or Hilton Garden Inn, there are dozens and dozens of activities and events that happen here every year that our team and sales team is out there booking and bringing them to the market. Same thing with sports through our sports commission. And then we also spend a lot of time in special events and quality of life economic development. So special events are things that we actually create. We spend time working with our hotels to find need date periods. So we look at some other reports that we get and subscribe to, like STAR, which is a Smith Travel Research report that tracks daily hotel occupancies and rate. And we can see throughout the year when there's dips and when they have soft weekends and soft months. And we try and create special events and activities on those particular weekends to drive more traffic to the market. A good example of that is the One Book, Two Book Festival that's on a soft weekend in February to try to bring more awareness to that and bring people to the market. Go ahead to the next slide, then. So three real buckets that we spend our time and energy. The first one is the easiest one to understand, sales and marketing. And that is all of the conferences, the meetings, the sporting events, really priding ourselves on being nimble. There have been times, particularly with COVID, that we've had to pivot and serve other aspects of the community, but we really try to stay focused on the visitor and conferences and meetings in those new date periods. Next slide, Mike. This is just an example. As I mentioned, Stacy's in Dallas right now with probably about 1,000 other DMOs around the country at one of the bigger shows. But just last fall, we booked, the left one is the Catholic Daughters of America, 2026. They're going to have their national convention here. That one piece of business is bringing 4,800 room nights to the market in that 1 week. They have 4,800 hotel rooms. The one down in the middle with the guy in the Hawkeye vest, she went right after that and booked the Hawkeye Harley Defenders Association. She flew to Florida to book that. They're going to bring 1,900 room nights to the market in 2025. And then also in 2025 in July, it's not represented on here, but she booked the National Convention of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They will be here and they have 2,400 room nights. So she does this all year long, partners with our hotel sales teams, spends an incredible amount of time with Kelly and the DOS properties at the four other hotels that have meeting space. Next slide, Mike. Same thing with sports. I can skip over this one. Obviously, Grill State Volleyball there in the corner, Boys State Baseball on the bottom left. Also spend a lot of time on cheer and dance and show choir and activities that bring activities to the market. Next slide. We have an incredible relationship with UI Athletics. We spend a lot of time and efforts and sponsorship to make sure that we have, we're on the same page, particularly with coaches. We only do as well as the coaches allow us to use the facilities. So we're working very hard right now on, as example, on one, our next big piece of business we'd like to win is Girls State Swimming and Diving. It's going to be up for bid next year, as is Boys and Girls Cross Country. They want to move to a three-year rotation, Fort Dodge, Iowa City, and Ames. So with those coaches, if they don't work with us, we're not in play to actually go with it. So you'll see us spending a lot of time cultivating this and having strong relationships with these teams. Next slide. We're known all over the world for wrestling. I can get into this at length. We hosted the World Cup in the upper right just not too long ago. That one piece of business brought, I believe, $180,000 in room tax to Kelly for that one. It brought in 19 countries. And we were here for the better part of 3.5 weeks. We had a 2.5 week training camp with 9 countries after the event, and they all had their camp at Courtyard by Marriott. So Kelly booked quite a few of those countries. I believe there's Ukraine, China, Japan, a couple others. Next slide, Mike. Ukraine came back. We actually taught them how to play cornhole. We had to stay at the courtyard, and they had a tailgate on the top of the courtyard, and then they went over and saw the women play in Kinnick Stadium. So this was the entire Ukrainian women's national team that was here for 2 weeks last October, staying and doing the training camp that we hosted. Next one, Mike. The second bucket is placemaking. We spend a lot of time and energy on these particular areas. We're able supporting subgroups, neighborhoods, interest groups, cultural groups in developing unique identities and placemaking in our community. We leverage the core pillars, the arts, athletics, and food, and try to develop compelling stories around them. So you will see us involved in the community, whether it be the Riverfront Crossings District or Iowa River Landing. Well, we're spending a lot of time right now with North Liberty on the development of Centennial Park and how that's going with the Next Stage initiative. We recently authored an application for them at the state level that got them a $900,000 grant through the Community Attraction Tourism Fund. And we do that by working just closely with the city manager and their support team and making sure that our placemaking is where it needs to be. Next slide. We're involved in all of these activities, trail, air. We get involved in the Eastern Iowa Airport. It's absolutely critical. We have a stake in there because of all these activities. We're booking and flying through the airport. And so we need them to work with us on not only transportation, but unique fares. They are intimately involved in helping us with a couple flight loads from some of the teams when we had World Cup here. Next slide. Like Iowa City, if you ever hear about this brand, we fund it, we promote it. This is all of the trails and activities. Obviously, cycling is a big part, much like wrestling, of our one of our core pillars as far as recreation goes. And so you'll see us investing time and money and efforts into not only marketing and advertising, but helping groups like I-Corps with continued trail development. Anytime RagRite has been through this market, we've been the leader on it. Next slide, sorry. And the last bucket that we spend a lot of time is really intentional community engagement. And we've been one of the core organizations behind the Better Together 2030 initiative that Katie Gerlach, our President Barb Wilson, and Angie Jordan have spearheaded. This was, again, about a 14-month process that was born out of Project Better Together that came out of COVID to really identify where the most important needs are. It's kind of a community needs assessment. In the larger community, and then recognizing what our role is in that. And our role, since this has been pushed out, has really been in what's called Pillar 1 of this plan, which is focused on the natural environment in the Iowa River and where we can have continue to support river and trail development opportunities that come out either at the state level or the federal level. Coralville's right now with their credits for improving the Clear Creek embankment, things like that, that we can provide ancillary support for. Next slide. And this is obviously a bigger one of the five pillars. Again, the first one is the one that's most closely tied to us. The others are other aspects of community and economic development. Next slide.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't want to move suddenly. There we go.
This one was in here. I wasn't sure if you had internet. The last thing I was going to bring up that's on the horizon is we've been spending a lot of time with herpes. I don't know if that'll even play, but you'll have to probably go to the next slide, Mike.
Okay.
Forgot that was in there. Well, it's 50 seconds if you want to watch it. These herpes, we did this originally in 2004. We had 75 herpes in a public art program all over town. We did it again in 2014 with 84 of them. And now it's 20 years later. So it's a partnership with our organization and the university where we're going to have 100 statues that will hit the streets on May 1st. Two of them are actually going to be in University Heights. They will be in all the cities, including we're expanding into Solon and Tiffin this time. And they will be up May 1st through the last week of August, at which time they all get auctioned off. And we're giving the proceeds from the Herky Arm Parade program to the School District Foundation of Iowa City and Clear Creek and Mana to support art education and art programs going forward. So it's quite a popular program. You will not be able to drive anywhere in this town without seeing three or four of them on every sidewalk over the summer, but it's also one of those unique events that it's fun to just watch parents with their kids and grandparents with their grandkids walking around going to see the next turkey. So we've been collecting them over the last 2 weeks. There's three more to come in tomorrow and the next day, and then they'll hit the streets in May.
Mm-hmm.
Last slide. And then this is an important slide I threw in, you know, I think it's important that our organization not only is there for a job and to promote our organization, but we get ourselves involved in the community. So we hit one more. You know, this is probably the slide I'm most proud of in the deck, which is all of the organizations that our staff volunteers time and effort and is very involved in across the community in their volunteer non-work hour roles. So that's as fast as I can do that. That's normally a 45-minute slide deck to a school or an education, but I'm more than happy to talk about hotel motel tax and talk about our relationship with the courtyard. Steve, I forgot he was part of the organization. He audited our books for probably 15 years, so he can probably talk about the finances as well as I can back in his profession before he retired.
You mentioned that a good part of your budget was programming revenue, I think.
Program revenue, yeah.
What events? Yeah, what kind of events provide you revenue?
Well, when we have events like the Dan Gable Donnybrook or Soldiers, they're almost all related to sports. So when we are putting on an event, we're not going to put on an event unless we know we can make money on it or break even. And we're doing it not to make money. We're doing it to break even. But there are several events like Dan Gable Donnybrook, Soldier Salute, to where we're making money on it. And all of those activities throughout the year add up to about 35% of our budget. Fry Fest is another one. So to try and be self-sustaining on events. There have been one or two events that we've lost money over the years, but we try not to, you know, they've been for other reasons, variables outside our control.
Do you think you will add more towns like Solon and Tiffin and, you know, get them involved like University Heights?
I think when they add hotels and if they want to buy into our organization and they want to invest, yes, we would consider it. If they choose not to, you know, they would have to figure out a way that they satisfy that goal, at which time we would quite honestly sell against them. We would not do events and use those properties just because of the equity issue of the properties that we are we're charged with representing. So if Tiffin wanted to put up a hotel.
They have, don't they have any? You know, they're Cuomo.
Yeah. There's only one in North 30 and then the US girl on four of them.
That New Yorker, whatever that is. And
that's not a hotel.
Oh, what is that?
The residential. Yeah, with some gym and a Mexican place in that role.
Could you remind me the name of the hotel in North Liberty?
Sleep Inn and Suites.
Okay.
It's behind that BMW dealer off of X.
Oh, yeah. Kind of by I-80.
Right on 218 or 380.
380, okay. Yeah. Right.
So it is unique in that, unlike Corvo and Iowa City, with University Heights and North Liberty only having one hotel, we know how that hotel does because of the estate collections. Unlike Corvo or Iowa City, when there's 30 hotels, it's hard to know which comp set is leading the way, which is not, which is driving rate, things of that nature. And then there's occasionally a time that hotels get themselves in trouble and they don't contribute, and we find out they're in the rears on tax collections. So
how do you monitor that?
Well, with the cities, we don't really know. We call the state and the state can verify that, yeah, there's a hotel that missed their quarterly deadline and they should make it up in the next quarter, but they won't pinpoint it.
Do they monitor Airbnbs that way too?
Airbnb is unique in that Airbnb builds into their rate, their hotel motel tax, and it gets sent directly to the state. And then the state is supposed to return to the collecting entity. So the Airbnb doesn't charge it the way hotels do. It's actually built in.
Gotcha.
So they had a separate agreement with the state on that.
Do you think the website will include University Heights more in the future? Looks like Corvo, obviously, North Liberty is on it, like for drop downs and stuff like that. just so they can find our hotel, like right here. I don't know if anybody really
University Heights should be in that list. It's probably listed on how you list.
I think the rationale is that University Heights is such a small community right now that you're going to cast a wider net. So everybody kind of recognizes that University Heights is being part of Iowa City. So when somebody's looking for a restaurant, we want them to go to Iowa City or
gotcha. So we're under Iowa City.
Yes.
There's actually quite a few Borgo hotels. You can ask Kelly Hayward how upset he gets when the Hyatt lists itself as Iowa City. And it's primarily for what do you call them, searches, when the search Expedia and all those what are they called? OTAs. When you do those searches, they want, and they're looking for Iowa City, they've never heard of Corvo. And so that's how they leave.
And I remember the Marriott at the beginning wanted to call it Courtyard Marriott Iowa City. And I asked that it could be named. I think Iowa City is very important, so they know where it is. But I added, could you add / University Heights? And they did. And so it's listed as, you know, Iowa City. It's similar to what you did. You have Iowa City listed first in your visitors.
Yeah, it's our lead, but on our building, we didn't change the name because we're Iowa City, Coralville, Aaron, CDB. But from a marketing perspective, it's easier to list us as think Iowa City.
Yeah,
it's not right. Yeah.
And then, you know, our mailing address is Iowa City. And so I had to discuss with the state sending the money to University Heights at the very beginning. Remember some of that?
Yes, they sent you a hotel. Yes.
So we worked through all of that. And then I've spent a lot of time recently at the Hyatt Regency in Coralville because I go weekly. I used to go weekly to the Hot Tops there for men and women. And they had a magazine, and it lists, you know, Visitor Bureau magazine that lists Iowa City, Coralville, University Heights, North Liberty.
Yeah, we produce an annual visitor's guide. I believe there's 30 or 40,000 copies, and University Heights is listed on the cover. So we list all the cities. It's like a word jumble. And once I believe we originally set up the partnership, we started adding University Heights to all of that. So
yeah,
we used to be a membership organization. So much like the chamber, you had to pay to us to tell people who you are. It was such a disservice. I said, we got to put that out because the visitor doesn't care whether or not they want sushi because Formosa isn't paying us. We're not going to not tell them about Formosa. So we cut all that out, and now we try to represent everybody.
And so how do you promote the businesses in University Heights?
Well, quite honestly, we don't. I mean, we promote them just like any other business. If we have a website and they want to be listed on there for retail or shopping or things like that, we would list them on there. But our primary relationship is heads and beds and hotels and trying to bring visitors to the community. And then once they're here, we definitely want to showcase all of our businesses. But we're primarily an organization that's born out of hotel motel tax collections and those taxes that come through hotel rooms. So there's a phrase in our industry that's always called heads and beds. And that's primarily what we are focused on, is sustaining and growing hotel taxes. So surely when they're here through our visitor's guide or through Don at our front desk and our maps and all those things, we want to tell people, hey, where are you staying? Oh yeah, well, if you're staying at Courtyard by Marriott, you know, you should go down to a coffee shop down the street, or you should go over here if you're looking for pizza or things like that. But a lot of those things are just done and are working with the hotel front desk.
I see. Any more questions for John?
I guess one more. So we have like 12 acres of area that we're kind of using as trails and stuff like that. I heard you talking about visioning and like what role would you potentially play with kind of what we're trying to do here. I mean, it's more like it for the community that's walking trails and stuff. But I'm just kind of curious what you're talking about.
Well, a couple of roles. First of all, if we would be welcome, we'd love to have a seat at the table to help you vision through that process. Secondly, we have a person on our staff, Nick Pfeiffer, whose primary job is public affairs, is to work daily. He's in there in his office with his headphones all the time, listening in on Iowa Economic Development Authority and other programs and meetings to identify grant opportunities and where we can leverage local dollars with some of these programs. So it's City Centennial Park is a perfect example of that. We led that process for the City of North Liberty, and that's part of our role in sort of placemaking and community development. So if there was a visioning process and you wanted us to sit there, sit in on a meeting, we'd be happy to sit in, and where you wanted us to take the lead, we'd be happy to take the lead. So trails are a big part of what we do. We fund I-Corps, all of that Coralville single track, Sugar Bottom. We're the organization that actually paid to bring Jingle Cross the World Cup here for the 5 years it was here. We did all that. So any of that sort of stuff is right in our wheelhouse. Hiking, bike, 100%. I mean, those are core visitor attribute activities, and it's a really big attribute of our community. It's that recreational nature opportunities. And a lot of those people that are traveling in those disciplines have the disposable income you want. I mean, if you're traveling here for cycling, you're probably staying at a hotel, things of that nature. So that's demographic area. Yeah.
Did you want to say something?
No. Josh isn't going to tell you this, but he's known across the country as one of the best in the business, and there's a reason for that. He's a visionary. He builds relationships with everybody, and that's, I was actually going to bring that up, is even though it doesn't have to do with putting heads in my beds at my hotel, and that's the name of the game, is hotel occupancy. He is such a wealth of knowledge, and if he can't do it or help you, he knows who can help you with a project like this. So those grants, some of the public areas, things of that sort, if you need somebody's brain to pick, start with Josh, because he can help with so many things outside of hotels and occupancy.
Yeah, you just need to be called. I mean, that's really what it's about, because I don't live the day-to-day. But Kelly Hayworth and I have a great relationship. I've been involved with him and pretty much his wingman are building out the entire River Landing. Same thing with Jeff Fruin when we started Riverfront Crossings District. Those two TODs for Temporary Development District. So where there's opportunities, Ryan Heyer isn't shy about calling me and saying, this is part of how we invest in you. I need you at the table to help me think through this. I'm like, let's go, let's do it. So you just need to call and let me know how I can help.
Thank you. I wanted to say, since we have on the warrants list this month about Think Iowa City, and we are paying you like almost $30,000. So I was checking with Steve Kuhl to see, he had budgeted $440,000 from the hotel motel tax from the Marriott. And so that puts us so far before the end of the fiscal year at $360,000, the amount that we have to our budget for hotel motel tax. And
100% of your collections?
Well, is that what you're doing? No, that's our part.
Oh, you're 75%.
Yeah, our 75% is 300. I took it out.
Understood. Okay.
I didn't say that. And Steve has said you had budgeted 440, and we think by the end of the fiscal year, the hotel will surpass that, which is a good thing.
Yeah, by about $20,000 in the budget.
Like 460.
Oh,
okay. Well, anyway, I thought I'd review that. So thank you for coming. And any other questions? And well, we learned a lot and good resource. So that's good. And I appreciate it. And I want to keep going with the meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And
I tried to get you.
I know you did.
I'm going to step in as a minute, for Mayor, though, as staff who doesn't talk. But when I was on council and we were first considering, you know, the zoning change for the Marriott, we had Josh come and talk about what's the fiscal projection? What's the feasibility? And I remember you coming and saying, I can't find a comparable that's close to a major hospital and close to major athletics and arts, but you were predicting 75% occupancy rate and probably $275,000 in annual hotel motel revenue. And we have far exceeded that. Yeah.
And with our sales team.
We were delighted to think 270 and to think, you know, if we're over 450, that's amazing.
Thanks for sharing.
My one editorial opinion.
Thank you very much.
And just on behalf of the hotel, some of you haven't met yet, but I'm an open book. Please reach out to me if you have questions, anything related to the revenue projections, forecasting. That's part of what my routine is. So I'm happy to help in any way that I can when you're looking for future numbers or investing in some of this stuff.
Thank you both.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thanks for sharing that. It's good memory.
Yeah. Hey.
Okay. We're going to go to Mayor's report. And first, Steve sent these resolutions today, the consideration of 2418 ratifying the mayor's appointment to the tree board. And as he wrote there, it's Curtis Schinhaller. He owns Fiddlehead Gardens, and he is replacing Sean Becerra, who has resigned. And so is there a motion for that?
So
motion.
One of us will
move. Motion by Nick and second by Lisa. Any discussion?
I think Curtis is great. I don't know.
You know Curtis?
Yeah, he's great. Seems super sharp and go-getter. So I think it'll be a good addition.
Thank you. Roll call vote.
Gunn?
Aye.
Herbold?
Aye.
Moore? Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Well, here we have consideration of resolution 2420. And this is the dive team. And then the members of the dive team change. They need to get signatures of every group. And this is a catch up on that. Does anybody have any questions about it or want more information? So, what's Steve,
the underwater search and recovery operations.
Yeah, you know, and the, right when somebody's well, Troy.
Mine.
Yeah, it would be good for you because we actually have a participant on the diving team now.
It's a countywide task force, basically. It's a countywide dive team. So it's evidence for recovery, it's search and rescue, but that usually turns into the body recovery. It is a countywide team, and it is supported in part anyway by the Johnson County EMA. Our current member is Nick Cox. He's one of my part-time officers. When he was with the University of Iowa Police Department, they trained him up and got him certified as a diver. When he left the university, and he was on the dive team, when he left the University of Iowa Police Department, he went out to Cedar Rapids and he works at the Eastern Iowa Airport. The Eastern Iowa Airport was not interested in sustaining him as a member of the Johnson County dive team. He's a part-time officer for me, but we pay him part-time officer rates instead of full-time officer rates. I'm like, Nim. There's not many ways for University of Heights to pay back on those joint teams because it usually takes so much time and at times, frankly, we can't do it, but I will approve your training time and I will approve any of your call-out time. And some of the call-out time, depending on what it's for, can be reimbursable, can be reclaimed. So it's a good deal for the officer. It's a good deal for the city and it's a good deal for the guy, in my opinion.
Thank you, Troy, for explaining that. So is there a motion for consideration of resolution 2420? Motion by Doug, second by Lisa. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore. Schroeder. Swales.
Aye.
Gunn.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Was contacted by Mowgros and they will continue mowing the city areas this probably the second part of April. They'll start and for the same price that they've done before in the same areas. So then we go to the legal report. Steve sent his report. He had minor things. Is there any questions for Steve? Okay. No. Okay. We'll go on to the clerk report. that you wrote sent around?
Only thing that council needs to act on tonight is renewal of Sidekick Coffee and Books. Sidekick is one word. I put that in incorrectly. The renewal of their Class C liquor license, and as we always...
Quick question. See, do I need to step into the audience for this? For the, I remember years ago...
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I don't think you need to. If you want to, that's fine. I know we've done that.
Sorry, Mike.
No, that's okay. What we've done, the applicant always goes through the alcoholic beverages division, does all the online, which takes care of dram shop insurance. They submit a drawing, they do all that. Locally, they give us a drawing. Troy conducts a background check on the owners. Terry Gerd is our building inspector, does a structure compliance and fire compliance. All of those have been done. All of those have been met. So staff would recommend that you approve this license. And this is an annual license, which can be done by a simple motion.
A simple motion. So I need a motion to consider the Class C liquor license renewal for Sidekick Coffee and Books. Okay, motion by Lisa. Is there a second? Second by Tim. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye. Anyone opposed? Okay.
No.
And then we're just going to register it as
4-0 with one abstention.
Yes, exactly. Perfect.
Okay.
Do you have anything else, Mike?
I don't think so.
Free coffee, right?
Okay. Next, we go to the city treasurer report, and John Brown sent the warrants list.
And John is here.
Oh,
I'm gonna stop the share so you can see John.
Hi, John. Nice to see you. So,
good evening.
The warrants list. Do you have any additions at all, John, since you sent it?
No. Big thanks to Mike. Give me a heads up. The credit card bills had arrived, so I was able to stop by and pick those up today. So,
but can you hear that?
Not really.
I don't know why we're not coming through the screen like we usually do
tonight, John. But just give me an okay sign or a, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Hey. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there were no additions in the mail today.
So
the only thing I had emailed and asked him when I saw that was just, I know that there was a question at some point, someone brought up the idea of like the city council numbers on there. Like, is it supposed to show up as what the paycheck is or what is withheld, including, you know, what's paid plus what's withheld? So I don't know. I emailed that to him earlier, but I don't know if you saw that email. And I don't know if this is a good time to ask the question, the audio issue. I can ask him later.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that's not like a clear thing you're supposed to be doing later.
Yeah, I emailed them that there were two Johnson County refuse that looked identical, but they had different numbers. And he said, no, that's supposed to be that way. And so I was just checking on that. But John, can you reply later to Nick's question since we can't hear you? Okay. So the warrants list is before you. Are there any additions or corrections to the warrants? If there's no objections to paying them, the warrants will be paid by unanimous consent.
That's my problem.
Thank you. We don't have that.
That got unplugged, and I want to probably when I did that.
Is that going to? Okay, very good. Okay, yeah. So now we'll go to community protection. And Chief Troy, you sent your report.
Yeah, I was going to say something real quick. Is that
you're going to say something?
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
Very good.
I just wanted to touch base on the police chief posting. It has closed. It was posted publicly and listed on our website. We had one applicant. It was an internal candidate, Chris Akers. And so we formed just a small committee of Steve Ballard, Louise, and myself that will interview him and basically make sure everything is, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And that's where we're at right now, moving on with the chief. And if you wanted to speak, any yes.
Very briefly, ATV update, it's in my report, but we still have not heard back from Mid-America on their full usage. We decided to move forward without them. Went out with Ryan and did a locate and have kind of worked virtually with the person from Genoptic. Mike Habertan informed me today that there was payment received, so they are looking forward to putting in the full on Melrose. We are still dependent on Mid-America because they need to supply power to that pole. Genoptic is hoping to be up and running as early as the week of April 22nd and hopefully no later than the following week, but that is weather dependent, mid-am dependent. So we'll see what happens. They will come in and provide some training for the officers, and once we go live, it will be the 30-day warning period. I also just wanted to update, this is not part of my report, but this afternoon, the State House did pass an ATV bill. They are not banning ATV, but they are regulating ATV, and if it needs to make it through the Senate, we'll see what happens. That's not a bad thing. I actually like it. I think that ATV has the potential to be abused. It should be for making roads safer. So the House bill, just to touch on it real quickly, says fines are set, first of all, by the bill at $75 for 10 over. Make sure I did it. It's $100 for 20 over and tops out at $500 for 30 over. It requires you to get some sort of permit or permission from the state. They want to know who's running them in the community. There is a minimum of a $10 or a 10 miles an hour over, which again doesn't impact. We were already doing that. And there is, and I would have to see if it's workable and how exactly they worded it, but something that Doug had talked to me about after one of our last meetings. There is a mechanism that's at least proposed or suggested in it that vehicle owner would be able to somehow transfer that to the actual operator of the vehicle. We'll see how that works. We'll see how that comes to fruition, or if even this makes it out of the other house. Now it needs to go to the Senate. But I did want to update in case somebody sees that and says, oh, wait a minute, that puts a hold on everything we're doing. It does not. They're still moving ours forward. Again, I think that it's good that there is some regulation, standardization of the process. So any questions for you about any of that?
Yes. Just an additional comment I wanted to say. At the April 23rd special meeting is when we'll be bringing our recommendations to council for police chief.
Well, then, I do believe we talked a little bit about city administrator. And that we're working on the job description.
Yes, we're working on the job description as of city administrator, and that's coming along too. And we'll touch base on that on the 23rd meeting.
I forgot one other point I wanted to make about the House file bill. There was concern that some communities or some entities are using ATV primarily to generate revenue, when really it should be a tool to make roads safer. So there is a restriction in the House file bill that fine revenue generated by ATV needs to go back into infrastructure such as roads or into offsetting public safety costs. So again, it just is to what pot it goes in, but it's still our primary focus is to make the roads, or I'm sorry, make the roads and community safer. And if it does generate fine revenue, it's appropriate that it goes back into those pockets.
Any questions for Chief? Okay, we'll move on to finance. And Nick, I know Steve Cool wanted to speak. Are you going to let him speak first?
Definitely.
Okay.
Okay. So in the budget process for fiscal 25, today is the next to last step on the whole process here. So we're getting there. Today, the notice of the public hearing for the proposed budget meeting on April 23rd was published in the newspaper today. Do you have that PDF of this?
I don't have it up. Sorry. Sorry. Let me grab that just a second.
I can go over it. Last month, we had a likely discussion or full discussion on the whole budget, and no real factors came up to change anything. So I went ahead with that. I did notice that one of the state backfield payments, it's either the commercial property replacement or the business property tax credit. One of those, the formula was altered or changed this last year. So TIF property shares a little bit of that. So that amount, it's not a big application for the state. It's about $5,000. The amount of that was $67 was TIF. And so when I did the forms here, the online forms here, of course, the TIF fund ended up with a balance of $67. But still, that money is still generated from the P. So I just increased the expenditure by $67 for the 95% that will go to the developer and the 5% that we retain. So that was the only change. Bottom line on the projected budget here, we were 10,400 and something was the projected deficit at last month's meeting. The adjusted amount projected deficit is $10,516. And then keep in mind, one thing I brought up was part of that deficit is we're actually planning to spend the remainder of the 2018 Swisher bond money on our expenditures this year. So that money is already in the bank account. So it's not like we're losing $10,000. We just need to spend the rest of that money out of that bond issue.
I've got to build up steam. It is there.
The levy rate for property taxes was $11 and like 83.6 cents per taxable thousand. It was only an increase of about 4.5 cents, less than 5 cents from the current year. So a very minimal increase on that. Nothing really out of the ordinary. Some of the numbers are a little shocking, like the projected 30% increase in insurance costs. And then like last month, Tori spoke about the cost of the replacement vehicles for the police department. Those things are out of our hands that we can control. So we'll have a special meeting on the 23rd to actually approve the budget. And then right after that, I'll work with Mike and Louise on getting the filing ready. That needs to be submitted at the county by April 30th. And there will be one signature form that two of you mm-hmm. need to sign, and I'll have that next day or after. So
yeah.
That was about all I wanted to cover on this. So we're just about there. It's been an incredible year with all this change. It's something else. I've heard from through the grapevine that there are some other cities and towns in Iowa that are having a better struggle with how to work all these changes in. So,
yeah,
we would be having that struggle without me. So,
that's all I have.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. You have anything else, Nick?
Not on that. The company that's going to be working on the Swisher track is supposed to start any time now. So, might hear chainsaws and grinders and stuff like that.
Thank you. Thanks for that. So, thanks for coming again, Steve, and we'll see you on the 23rd. And we'll go to the engineer's report. Doug, do you want Ryan to start?
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan, you sent around a report.
Yeah.
Quite a lengthy report.
Yeah, it was a lot longer than last one. I'll just start with George Street cul-de-sac repairs. So we have a resolution tonight, just to recap kind of what that's all about, especially for Nick, because he wasn't here last year, and this has been kind of a saga with this MetroNet damage to the Iowa City sanitary sewer main on George Street cul-de-sac. So it took a while for Lynch to get paid from MetroNet last year. So they waited to do the permanent repairs, and we got kind of close to school and football season, and we decided that working that, around that schedule was going to be either really expensive for them, because we wanted to do not only the repairs that MetroNet had to pay for, but adjacent pavement repair and intake repairs to damaged intakes in that cul-de-sac in the low point. So we have a quotation from them, and it is for repairing basically half the street that MetroNet's not paying for. So just to be clear on that, that MetroNet is paying for half of the roadway full width repair here when it's all said and done. And then the city will be paying to replace the two intakes that are behind the curb on each side. So, and then some sidewalk repair that'll go along with removing those intakes. So the quotation is for $28,675.60, and that is for the city's portion of the work. And this is relatively close, within 8% of what we had estimated for those costs. So we do consider it reasonable and put before the council resolution 2416 to accept the quotation for George Street repairs. And that was attached to the report.
Okay, so we'll go with consideration of resolution 2416, which is accepting the quotation, as Ryan said, for George Street repairs project. Is there a motion by staff? Is there a second?
No,
second. Second by Doug. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Moore?
Aye.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Gahn?
Aye.
Herbold?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, and then 2024 street sweeping. So I have another resolution for council consideration tonight, and this is for an annual street sweeping project. With the past few years, we've obtained quotes from Strip Construction, and they've been doing a pretty good job. We've waited a little longer this year because the intent is to try to do the sweeping after the final leaf collection, or the spring leaf collection, I guess I should say. So that leaf collection is next week.
Monday.
I've alerted that they need to wait till after next week and they can start sweeping. But their rate that they've submitted was the same rate that we were given last week. So there's no change in the rate, no increase there from last year. So I guess we were recommending accepting that quotation. So there's a resolution for council.
So that's resolution 2417, accepting the quotation for the street sweeping project. Is there a motion? Motion by Doug. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Nick. Discussion? Roll call vote.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Gahn.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore. Motion carries 5-0.
I'll just touch real briefly. So in the warrants list, there was a payment to LL Pelling for payment markings from last year. So this was the amount for the retainage. So when they submitted their invoice, it was pretty late, I think, October, the last one we paid last fall. They had taken the retainage out and then they hadn't resubmitted an invoice. And I guess it sort of slipped my mind as well. So they submitted this month. So that was on the warrants list, just so everyone's aware what that's for, basically.
Right, I noticed it was there. Thank you.
That's $622.17. So, and then we'll be looking this month and preparing plans for a payment marketing project for this summer. Then also, hopefully, they'll get approval very soon. There's an ATE recap in there. Monroe Street improvements. So the big thing is the first phase storm sewer work is pretty much done. They've been doing that and been able to keep the roadway pretty well open for the residents to get in and out of their driveways to date for the last two weeks, I think it's been since they started. And then tomorrow morning, they're gonna start ripping out the pavement for the first phase there. And that project's broken into three segments to really only put three driveways out of commission at one time. So So yeah, we expected that. I mean, weather permitting, it looks like there might be some several days of rain in the forecast next week, but weather permitting, they'd be planning to start paving next week.
Yeah. Good communication with the homeowners that are going to lose their driveways. Is that
I emailed everybody yesterday and let them know that they need to be on the street by 8 a.m. I'm going to say. Most everybody was already parking outside the driveway. It sounds like I have based on the I mean, they've been rocking back the driveways to give them access so far, but I don't know if there's anything else.
Are there any questions for Ryan?
Questions? There's asphalt patching project. We're gonna hopefully have some quotations back for that for approval at the special meeting, hopefully in on the 23rd of April. So you can get that one, the bonds in it.
Thank you for putting that temporary patch on that Melrose. That was for well, for least until a proper repair, because
That's in the miscellaneous item. So Lumen owns a manhole structure that's on Melrose. For those that don't know, it's CenturyLink is Lumen now, bought by Lumen. And their contractor came out and put that patch in after we got in touch with them about that. And then we are coordinating a permanent repair, which involves removing the whole that's concrete and repatching three panels on Melrose. So they're the traffic control plan is something I've yet to really talk details with Louise and Doug, but Kelsey, but we'll get there. So it's coming.
Thank you, Ryan, for all your good work. Any other questions for Ryan or Doug? Do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay, thank you. Now, building, zoning, and sanitation. Tim, do you have anything? I know in the future you're going to be giving reports from the CBB. A couple sentences, yes. My understanding. Okay, that'd be good. Thank you. And e-government, Lisa, you sent around a report. Some good information. Like, it's going to be 80 degrees this weekend, so everybody can rake their yard to the curb and they'll start picking up, as Lisa said, Monday morning. And the weather's supposed to be good then, like 79 that day. So yeah, we either go freezing to 80. That's the way it works now. And thanks for getting all that information out, Lisa. Any other things? No. Oh, you know, I did find out today that we're having the bike breakfast on with Jeff's Bike and Ski on Wednesday, May 22nd. And you usually help, maybe, and anybody can help that day. It's from like 7 to 9, I believe, 7 to 9, 9:30. And it's wonderful because Jeff Spike and Ski does a wonderful kind of like bagels and lox, right? It's wonderful. And then we do drinks and some donuts or things like that too. Snacks. Yeah. Lisa wants me to make cinnamon rolls. And so anyway, that's a coming event. She'll get that on the website, but I just found out late today. Are there any announcements?
Zoning Commission will meet 1 week from tonight, April 16th here, but it's also a hybrid meeting. And they'll be talking about what they want to do to hold a public meeting after the information they got from their last meeting with the MPO. So I'll send you all the link for that. So.
Thank you, Mike. Any other announcements? So the next meeting is the special council meeting Tuesday, April 23rd. And so is there any objection to adjournment? Hearing none, the meeting's adjourned by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone.